This is the KPTZ Compass, your local news magazine for the Northeast Olympic Peninsula. This week on the Compass, we pay a return visit to the Ecumenical Christian Helping Hands organization to learn about both the services they offer and their current volunteer needs. And then we are treated to the ponderings of some of the town's youngest philosophers at the Swan School. So now, let's go inside the Compass. Over the two decades of its existence, the Ecumenical Christian Helping Hands organization has won multiple awards for the unique free service it provides to the communities of Eastern Jefferson County, helping people in crisis with escalating health problems at home and needs for expensive equipment like wheelchairs, lifts, walkers, commodes, and hospital beds, along with help to get to doctor's appointments and with everyday tasks like cooking, cleaning, weeding, or just plain companionship when life takes a turn for the worse. KPTZ did a story about ECHO back in November of 2016, which resulted in a significant surge of volunteers and financial support, a result which led Executive Director Sarah McMahon recently to request the KPTZ Compass come again to talk with the all-volunteer staff to talk about new expansions in programs and current volunteer needs. And so it was that I arrived one recent morning at ECHO's medical equipment jammed headquarters in the former rectory of the First Presbyterian Church, which leases the building to the non-denominational ECHO for only the cost of utilities, to find McMahon and the rest of the staff waiting for me. I asked for introductions.
I'm Sarah McMahon, and I'm happily the executive director.
I'm Suzanne Erickson. I'm the volunteer administrator.
I'm Kate Story. I'm the coordinator of home services.
I'm Walt Hill. I take care of the medical equipment.
Jeffrey Hall, dispatcher.
Rich Heitman, manager.
Well, so Sarah, why don't we start off with you, giving me sort of an overview of ECHO. You can tell us what ECHO stands for, and then a broad overview of the services provided.
Right. ECHO stands for Ecumenical Christian Helping Hands Organization. And we were founded out of the Presbyterian Church, but we are a secular organization. We are not a church organization at all. And when ECHO began 20 years ago, we just had our anniversary in November, we were offering, or they were offering at the time, help for people in their homes. The founders saw that there were some real needs that were not being met in the community, and they sat at their table and they thought, we can do something about this. So they did. And at this time now, we are offering free loans of medical equipment, everything from hospital beds to toilet risers and in between. And we're also transporting people to medical, dental, and other essential appointments. And it's our volunteers who are doing the driving. And it's our volunteers who are keeping ECHO going. And I am really, really proud to be part of this organization because it's unique. There's no other organization that we know of on the peninsula doing this kind of work. And I think only one major organization over in Seattle doing it.
Didn't you tell me that recently ECHO has expanded the services and there's like more home services being provided?
Absolutely. And Kate will tell you more about that. But we're going back, in a way, we're just reviving what they were doing when ECHO began. So I recently thought I coined the term elder orphans. And then I found out there was a national website for elder orphans. And to be part of the elder orphans website group, you have to have no children at all. And yet I have been an elder orphan out here. I've had to have repeated orthopedic surgeries, for example, because of a bad car accident many years ago. And my kids are pretty well scattered, and I have no relatives out here on the peninsula. And I have been so extremely grateful before I was on the ECHO board and before I got hired as executive director that I could call and get rides to physical therapy appointments. And whatever, pretty much whatever else was needed, I had no idea about the other services ECHO offered. And I didn't need any of the equipment at that time that they were offering. But what we're doing now is we're reviving, really, the old home services program. But we're doing it on a grander scale because of the demographics of the area and the vastly increased numbers of senior retirees who are moving here. And basically, you know, the question's often asked of me, who uses ECHO services? And we're all going to cycle in and out of periods of disability in our lives, almost all of us. And for example, if somebody's had surgery and they're home, and in my case, my son would come and stay 2 days, and then he went home to Bothell. And there I was alone and had major orthopedic surgery. Now what? You know, now you're all of a sudden alone, and I live pretty isolated out in the country. And so what am I going to do? My friends are old people, too, and it's just incredible for me to know, and I think it will be increasingly as people become aware of what we're doing, that help is available, that Kate's going to tell you more about it, but that we can send volunteers into people's homes, into elder orphans' homes, for example, and provide whatever services they need, pretty much, basically, and when home health services exits the picture, ECHO will be there.
So, Kate, I have a friend, actually, who in a few weeks' time is going to be in, and she fits the description perfectly of an elder orphan. She has no partner. She has no children. She has friends, but she's going in for hip replacement surgery, and she's been puzzling over what she's going to do when she gets home and can't walk and can't drive and has all the normal needs. So perhaps you could tell me more about the program.
So it's interesting that you should say that, because just a year and a half ago, I had one hip replaced, and last year I had my other hip replaced. So I'm in a good position to talk about that. For ECHO, you know, we certainly have the drivers that can get your friend to appointments if that's needed. We have someone that can come and help on a temporary basis, any kind of meals or anything in the home, light cleaning, things like that. So, yeah, we have services that are available. We just kind of started. I came on board about November and December of last year. And so what we've been trying to do is kind of develop a system and a process where a person would call in and talk to Jeffrey, and then I would get the information if it's home services, and I would come out, or I would come out with another person, and we'd just kind of assess what needs to happen with that person. What kind of setting is it? Is it stairs? I just like to know what the environment is. So when I talk to a volunteer, we'll know, like, yeah, there's dogs or there's cats, and maybe a person is allergic to cats, so then we need to find somebody else. I just try to get the match as best as we can, rather than having people go out and go, oh, no, I can't do that, or it doesn't work for me. So we're trying to do that and then have the person go out and help the person in the home.
So this is all volunteers doing this work?
Correct. Right.
Do you have a large number of such volunteers? I mean, I could see how the demands could be greater than the supply.
Well, you know, that's kind of my fear when I thought about all the aging people like myself here on the peninsula or in East Jefferson County. So I really wanted to get a system going so that I would not feel like totally overwhelmed with all the clients that would be calling in for the services. I mean, I'm really passionate about having people stay in their homes for as long as they can. And we're just starting to gather volunteers now. And so I'm trying to keep ahead of that process so that I'm not trying to frantically find a volunteer. So we're looking for clients, and we're also looking for volunteers.
There must be some kind of practical limitation on how much service you can provide to any individual. I mean, you know, obviously you can't provide 24-hour presence.
Right. That's exactly true. And that's kind of a gray area as to how much, you know, what we have. We have a few clients right now, and it's usually on either a weekly basis or every other week. We have someone that's shopping for someone right now every Tuesday afternoon. We have someone that's kind of doing some light house cleaning every other week. And so, you know, no, it can't be 24/7. And we can't give a hard and fast rule about that. It could be temporary, but for some people, it's going to be kind of the rest of their life. They might need it. But with, like your friend, with hip surgery, it's a temporary basis. And that's really what we're hoping for. But we understand that with people's lives and the aging process, it may not be, but not 24/7, right?
How about other, like, household stuff? Like, I mean, like gardening work, that sort of thing. I mean, so people are disabled and can't do that.
Right. So we have a little form that talks about our services. We have some home maintenance services. What I try to do is to find someone that can do maybe most of them, so the client is not having several people coming in and out and in and out, you know, but not everybody can do home services like yard work, like you talked about, or fix things around the house and things like that. But there's also in-home, like pet care. So if someone has a dog or a cat, is a volunteer able to and willing to take care of maybe cleaning the litter box or walking the dog occasionally? Also helping with like light housekeeping, doing light meals, maybe a lunch a week, or maybe taking them out. Maybe they're totally able so that they can go out for once a week or play cards with them. You know, it really is a huge variety of services we can provide. It may even be if you want to learn about computers or, you know, all those kinds of different things. It's anything in the home, you know, that we can provide.
Or going to the doctor's office with someone to take notes, because often we don't remember what the doctor said when we go there alone. And so it'd be really helpful sometimes to have a volunteer there with you to do that. And that would help tremendously in some situations.
So about how many volunteers and how many clients do you have currently?
Well, I have just come back from a vacation, and so we have very few clients, and that's because we've been trying to get the system in place and then having me come back from vacation. So we may have five or six, I've got a list of people I need to call, five or six volunteers right now. We have a whole host of volunteers for the whole ECHO program that sometimes drivers may find out they're not able to drive as well as they used to, so maybe they'd rather just do in-home things. And so, you know, there's people that I'm trying to contact and to see if they're interested in the program, plus get new people, too, that may not know about us and feel an interest in working in the home. And clients right now, I mean, we have about three or four, but, you know, again, I got a list this morning to call when I came in because I've been on vacation. So I'm sure it's going to take off in 2018.
Are you worried about what might happen after this radio show comes on?
Yes. I'm very excited. I mean, it's exciting to be on the radio for clients as well as volunteers. looking for both. I don't think we're going to have any problem with the clients. I mean, I think volunteers, there's a lot of very generous people that have done a lot of work for ECHO. And so we'll just hope for the best.
So why don't you tell me about the full range of volunteer opportunities here and the total number of volunteers for the whole organization?
Okay. Again, I'm Suzanne, and I'm the volunteer administrator, which I feel very blessed that I get to work with this crew here at ECHO. Everyone is amazing. They have big hearts and diligence in trying to meet the needs in the community in Jefferson County. We have right now approximately 80 volunteers, and they do various tasks, most of which are driving. So they drive to appointments. We also have, like Kate was saying, approximately 8 to 15 volunteers that will do in-home services. And we have Sarah and brochures that go out into the community and talk about the need we have for volunteers and support that we need. So if you're listening, you're out there and you want to do something wonderful for our community, we always need more volunteers. So you can always just call, come by, and we have a really easy application to fill out, process to go through, and to get you on board ASAP. And I really enjoy working with the volunteers. We do monthly driving tip updates and a variety of other things to try to help our volunteers as well as the clients. So it's a wonderful organization.
The volunteers enjoy the work they're doing too. I have a letter in my office from a man who goes to the food bank and picks up food on the appropriate days for shut-ins, for people who can't get out of their homes. And he said in his letter, and he said to me personally, that those trips are the highlights of his week. He's done everything from teaching a kid to ride a bicycle in one of those homes to playing with the pets when the owners can't play with the pets anymore. I mean, probably anything. We can be just as creative as we want to with what the volunteers can offer, but they just love it. They make new friendships, they get new skills, they feel more than ever before like they're part of creating a wonderful, viable, loving, compassionate community. Mm-hmm. And it makes the volunteers happy too.
Mm-hmm. How about people to just visit? Just visit in the home. Mm-hmm. Is that one of the services you provide?
Yes, we do. Usually there's always some additional things, but just having someone come and visit once a week or have a lunch with them or, you know, whatever's needed is, yeah, certainly. Because people do get lonely, especially if they're living by themselves and they don't really have a lot of family around. I think it's really important.
Now, does ECHO have its own vehicles to take people who are...
No, everybody drives their own personal car, and we do offer them a small reimbursement for their mileage, but surprisingly, most volunteers don't even want reimbursement. That's how big their hearts are. And I wanted to speak of an example where we had a client who was a shut-in elderly gentleman. He wanted somebody to visit him and play chess with him. And the client said, find me somebody rocket scientist smart, because I am a really good chess player. We found him a real rocket scientist to play chess with.
A literal rocket scientist,
yeah. So he was very, very happy with the service we provided.
Are there volunteers who actually have wheelchair accessible vans?
No, there aren't. We do have some volunteers who will transport a wheelchair. But they have to have a caregiver accompany the client so they can get the wheelchair in the trunk of their car. We have looked at the possibility of acquiring a van, but it's prohibitively expensive and insurance issues are prohibitive. And we are on a very tight budget and it's not realistic to do that.
Let's talk a little bit about that budget and where the money comes from.
Rich, what percentage comes from the community, from individual donors?
It is about 30. Last year, 33% of our support came from individual people in the community. 34% came from grants and contracts. We get support from the Olympic Area Agency on Aging and UGN, Department of Transportation. Those are the two biggest funders of ECHO, is the grants and individuals. The rest is equally divided among Jefferson Healthcare, private organizations, and churches. So I would say usually the lion's share of our donations come from just grateful clients in the community.
So many of the donations are actually people who've benefited from the services.
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, most of the donations come from people who've borrowed equipment from us. And it's also important for the community to know that our need for volunteers is constantly growing. Last year, we served over 1,000 clients, and that was up about 8% from the previous year. So each year, the request for our services increases, and sometimes it's a struggle to find enough volunteers to help all these people as more and more people become aware of ECHO and the services that it offers. So yeah, we have a constant need for volunteers, and We've been managing to keep up for 20 years, but people need to know that there are a lot of folks in the community who need help, and if they can possibly offer help, we'd really like to hear from them. I like to tell people that this is the lowest paying but most satisfying job I've ever had. And as I've gotten older, I've come to the realization that it's not how much money you make, at least speaking personally, it's how satisfying the work is and feeling you're doing a really good thing for the community. And if anybody out there has a big heart and would like to share their love with the community, please call us.
I wanted to say, too, that we're now accepting donations of cars. And so far, we haven't had a car donated, but if anyone's interested, you know, a lot of our clients are no longer able to drive, and that's why they need us. And so if they have cars in their garages, they don't even have to be drivable. But if they have cars sitting around that they're no longer using, by all means, go to the website or even call the office, and Echo will help you dispose of those cars, and that will help us tremendously. And then
Somebody then sells those cars and gives the money to Echo.
Right. The largest portion of that money comes right back to Echo. And we've made it possible to do online donations, and there are several ways that that can happen. I'd like to share a personal story about yard work. I have a lot of upper spinal damage from the car crash in 1989 and an earlier one and a more recent one too, unfortunately. But I had a real crisis about, I guess it's been 3 years ago, and I was unable to do my yard work. And I have unfortunately landscaped half an acre out in the woods, and it needs a lot of maintenance, unfortunately. And I was feeling really bad because every time I opened my front door, it was springtime, things were happening out there, and I was unable to do anything about it. And the then volunteer coordinator called me. She was a friend of mine, and she said, "Sarah, I think I have someone who can help you with your yard work." And this woman showed up, by golly, and she worked beside me for probably 2 or 2.5 years in that yard. She got me through that really critical situation and just did incredible work in the yard. And that woman is now 92 years old, and she could outperform me anytime, out stamina me, out energy me, and she was stronger and more agile than I. So that was just tremendous. And, you know, whatever the need, we're pretty creative about finding people to help with it. We could tell you some pretty phenomenal stories about people who've called this office when it seemed that their needs were going to be impossible for anyone to meet. And we've pulled it off. As far as I know, every time somebody's had something that seemed very, very difficult, we've been able to help.
We're about to run out of time here, but let's get down to the nitty-gritty. How do people find you?
The website is Echo, ECHHOJC for Jefferson County, .org.
And that's Echo with two H's.
Yes, ECHHO, Helping Hands. Remember the Helping Hands part. I like to say our middle name is Compassion, but that we could say that the C is about compassion. The phone number here at the office is 360-379-3246. And there's someone here to answer the phone between 9 and 4 every day except weekends.
All right.
Well, let me just add that in terms of the hospital equipment that we lend, free of charge, it's everything from hospital beds. The guys delivered a hospital bed. They actually picked it up from one household and delivered it to kind of one in the same neighborhood this morning for somebody who needed it, to toilet risers, shower chairs, canes, crutches, electric wheelchairs, electric carts, knee scooters. Anything, almost anything except intimate personal items that would need to be sterilized between uses, we can help with.
Echo is located right next to the First Presbyterian Church at the corner of Jefferson and Polk in Uptown, and is open from 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. With Echo Executive Director Sarah McMahon, Volunteer Administrator Suzanne Erickson, Home Services Coordinator Kate Story, and Manager Rich Heitman, this is Steve Evans reporting for KPTZ Community Radio News.
My name is Zadie. What do you like at Swan School? I like when people play with me and people are nice to me. That's what in school.
My name is Roxanne. I like my friends.
My name is Mateo. I like Electos.
My name is Kai, and my question today is, what would you want to add to Swan School?
I would like to add more toys.
Treehouse.
Legos.
Board and a swimming pool.
A hot tub.
What's your favorite thing about Port Townsend?
The swimming pool.
The rec center.
Say your name.
Hey, my name is Sadie.
My name is Mateo. What is your favorite place to go play outside?
At the park.
The beach.
The playground.
My name is Kai. What happens to you inside when you play with a puppy?
Happy. Sometimes when it scratches you, sad.
Sometimes they chase me.
I get hurt.
Hi, my name is Edie, and what do you usually wear?
Clothing.
Random clothes?
High tops.
How do you feel when you get in trouble?
Bad.
Sad.
Bad.
What does music do to you?
Happiness.
Greatness.
Hypnotizes me.
It makes me want to dance.
What's your favorite animal?
A cat.
A dog.
A zebra.
A panther.
What do you do in time out?
Escape.
Escape.
Feel bad.
Hi, my name is Zadie, and how many teeth have you lost?
4.
8.
10.
What makes you happy?
What really does make me happy is when, like, friends with me on play.
What makes me happy is when people help me when I'm hurt. What makes you sad?
When I get hurt.
When we get hurt. When I get excluded, which is hardly ever.
My name is Zadie. When you see the stars at night, how do you feel?
Happy.
Good.
Like I'm gonna watch TV. What can you do to make your parents happy?
Take them to go skateboarding.
Give them something.
Be nice to them.
Write out a love you card to you.
Be with them.
What is a friend?
A person that you like to play with.
Somebody who's nice to you.
What are you afraid of?
Monsters.
Monsters.
Nothing.
My neighbor.
If you were in charge of the world, what would you do?
I would make everybody be my servant.
Out of the world have no rules.
I would make everyone have candy every day.
This is Chris Bricker for KPTZ Community Radio News.
This week's KPTZ Compass was written and produced by Steve Evans and Chris Bricker. The Compass airs Mondays at noon and 5 p.m. and repeats the following Saturday at noon. You can listen to podcasts of past Compass programs at the kptz.org website, where you can also stream KPTZ live 24 hours a day. KPTZ is embarking on an ambitious plan to expand our news operations in order to bring you daily news updates and more in-depth feature stories like those you hear on KPTZ Compass, and we are looking for help to make it happen. If you might be interested in joining the KPTZ news team, drop us a line at news@kptz.org or stop by the station at the Mountain View Commons and fill out a volunteer application form. For the news team here at KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, I'm Steve Evans.